His presence moves on the water. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Well, happy Father's Day to all you dads and all you who had dads. Happy Father's Day to you as well. And some of you may say, well, my relationship with my dad didn't exist, or maybe it did, maybe it wasn't great, maybe it was really painful. But God gives us an opportunity to know the perfect love of the Father through God, even if we didn't have it. You know, the statistics, Satan hates the family. There is such strength in the family unit when it's healthy and when the love of God is there. Such strength. Society is strengthened by that. Anytime a nation's families begin to come apart, the nation itself begins to unravel. And we have that situation in our land today. I was looking at these statistics and I thought, only God can turn things around. For a lot of people, Father's Day is not a good day. In fact, I hadn't thought about this, but there are about 10 million single moms who are raising their children without a father. 10 million. That's a lot. There's about 7 million grandparents raising their grandchildren, because there's not a dad or a mom available. Now, just between those two, single moms and grandparents, that's 17 million families. That is a lot of families that have been broken and fractured. You can just say that's a lot of pain. A lot of ouchies. And there are well over 30 million fatherless children, teens, and young adults. 30 million. That should be an embarrassment to all in our nation to realize what a horrible condition we're in as a nation. Now, we have Brother Don, who's involved in prison ministry. Some of you have been involved in as well over the years. But did you know that 85% of youth that are in prison grew up in a fatherless home. That is a high percentage, 85%. 85 out of 100 in a fatherless home, young people. How about this? 80% of rapists are from a fatherless home. Do you see the picture? Do you see the stronghold of destruction? The children that grow up in a fatherless home had lower grade point averages, lower college aspiration, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates. And yet even in my own family, my wife and I, we've been told, well, kids don't, they don't need a dad. These girls don't need a dad. That boy doesn't need a dad. Now, I wish I could tell you our family is really well put together, but I have relatives that their kids, some of them have never met their dad. Never met him. And these are from families that were raised in church. So from where they were 20, 30 years ago to today, somehow or another looking at their families and saying, they don't need a father. That's not true. Not true. This is a real tragedy. Out of 4 teenage suicides, 3 out of 4 were fatherless. See how the enemy, if there's not an earthly father, there's not a heavenly father, then the enemy comes in to destroy. Painful. Everything from immoral premarital sex and other addictive behaviors, it is multiplied many times over where there's not a father. In fact, a privilege, we'll just talk about a privileged white teenage girl from a privileged family is 5 times more likely to become a mom before marriage. And of course, both of our boys were from homes where both girls were 15 years old when they became pregnant. And this is more and more common. And what do we have in the news now that's in our face every day? We have homosexuality, lesbian lifestyles, identity crisis. I'll tell you, I really pray that we can get some more swamp cleaners. Because not only is Washington a big swamp, but our educational system is a rotten swamp. Someone that works in ministry with homosexuals said, I've never seen a homosexual who had a loving, respectful relationship with his father. That's their ministry. Said, I never met one. The importance of fathers, godly fathers, standing up, breaking the curses over their families. Let me say this. If you don't have or you didn't have, and you're a young person today and you're single, Let me challenge you to become a man that one day can be a godly father and break the circle, the cycle of the curse. Crime, suicide, drugs, alcoholism, poor education, dropout, sexual immorality, abortion, crowded prisons, mental illness, and on and on and on can be directly tied more to the lack of father's presence than any other influencing factor. It's a big deal. But thanks be to God, there are godly fathers, and there are those who are becoming godly fathers. And to those who would say, I'm embarrassed over my track record, then let God enable you to see it changed. In Jesus' name. Matthew, I have to read this just because it's Father's Day and because I believe it's so important. It's found in Luke chapter 15. Jesus told this story, verse 11. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now instead of waiting until you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now before you think that that's a principle that all of us should practice and say, well, to my rebellious, wasteful children, if they ask for it, I'll just give it to them. Before you do that, I want you to get an understanding of what this passage is about. It's really, the story of the prodigal is really a story about God loving all of us. And understanding that all of us, like sheep, go astray. And that God, who has given us life, gifted us with giftings and callings and qualities of life that we can either squander in the world or we can utilize in the Father's house with His blessing. We look at this a lot of times and focus on the awakening of a runaway, and that's in the story. But I want you this morning, as we are just thinking of introductions, to think about the father who knew full well, and he knows full well exactly how far any one of us could run, yet his love's greater. So if you're a part of our family here this morning, or maybe someone that'll listen by radio, or someone that will be a part of the stream at some point, and maybe you're at a place where you have thought, maybe I've ran too far, and I'm too much of an embarrassment, and there's no room for me, no hope for me. Let me tell you, that's a lie. That is a lie. Because the story of the prodigal is a story of hope for everybody. Not for the better, not for the white sheep, but even for the black sheep. I was a black sheep. Bah. At the end of the bah was a duh. I understand when the Word talks about Noah's generation, they only devised evil things. They thought about it. As a kid, that was, and I'm in a Christian family. The prodigal story is just like that. Wasn't a problem with the parent. Wasn't a problem with dad's love. There is not a problem with the opportunities. They were all there for both boys. But, you know, it's a story of hope for everybody. And so Dad blessed and sent out, and the younger son told his father, I want my share. His dad agreed. Verse 13, a few days later, this younger son packed up all of his belongings, took a trip to a distant land. There he wasted all of his money on wild living. About that time, his money ran out. Great famine swept the land. He began to starve. This is another important place in this story. And it's important, I think, for parents to see this and think about this, that God knows how to reach our children better than we do sometimes. And sometimes when they're hungry, we want to feed them. We want to run to them. We want to help them have a better life in their pig pen. But God knows that the pig pen is a place where many wake up. And so the very place, yes, it's the result of the seed growing that's been planted of carelessness and recklessness. But you see, in the pig pen, the son could not blame dad, couldn't blame mom, couldn't blame the church, the temple, couldn't blame his brother, couldn't really blame anybody. He had to say, I'm here because of my choices. We call it enabling, right? I mean, that's what it's called when we help someone stay where they are. As if maybe the goal is to say, how long can my son or daughter or grandchild stay healthy in the pig pen? Let me feed them there and doctor them there and let me patch them up there and encourage them there. But what God wants to do is get them out of there, but they have to be awakened first. You say, well, that's cruel. To not chase somebody down and drag them out of the pig pen and dress them up and give them a few bucks and give them another opportunity from there. And some might say, well, how can you still love and know what you know and let them be where they are? And I can only explain love this way, that God loves us enough to deliver us from the devil's plans against us. And in order for us to be delivered, we have to wake up at some point in our life. Maybe someone will be listening today that needs to wake up. I remember Pastor Gary Rummel, that was with us for a number of years, he confessed that his sin was being a Pharisee. So all the runaways are not necessarily in the literal pig pen. They might be in the church. Maybe in the church as a Pharisee, not as a known practicing hypocrite, but simply as someone who is religious but not righteous and somehow feels better there, but as lost as can be. And Gary Rummel said, that was my sin. I was a Pharisee. Gary's father took his life. He too was a minister. Ouch. Not supposed to happen, is it? Gary had been through all the Bible college and I think seminary as well, but he didn't know God. But one day he had an awakening. No, it's not the address where you are. Don't think that this story is only about someone that's at the bottom of the natural food chain. This isn't a message just for the addicted or for the lawbreaker, but it's also for those who may be high society but yet lost. It's Father's Day. I guess if there are just two words, God cares. Well, maybe two more words. God knows. Maybe two more words. God understands. Maybe the enemy's never told you this. The enemy told me this a lot of times. Jonathan, you are not cut out for righteousness. Your flesh has too strong of appetites that are not godly. Your mouth is out of control. Your thoughts are out of control. Your behavior is out of control. You're just not cut out for this. Some people are just by nature. I mean, the enemy would tell me this. Some people by nature make better choices. And you're not one of them. And even after being born again, I remember saying, God, I don't know what else to do. I just keep messing up. And one day I heard so clearly God say to me, Jonathan, I knew you before I made you. I knew you before I called you. I knew you before I saved you. I knew every sin that you would ever sin in the entirety of your life, and yet I love you, and I chose you to be my son. This is the love of God the Father. It's not based upon how I feel about it, how I feel about myself, or how someone else may feel about me. Oh, I had plenty of people suggesting that I would get thrown out of the Christian school because I was such a rotten apple, influencing everybody to go the wrong way. I remember after being born again, the president of the college, who so many times I had had a board meeting with him, and he was in charge of the board, and I was in charge of the bending, and so many times I'd been with him, and this was not that kind of a meeting. He just smiled in those penetrating blue eyes. He said, I told you one day, McLean, you're going to get straightened out. He said, that day has come. I knew it would come. Now tell me who all your accomplices have been. He knew what kind of people I hung out with. Tell me who they are. Tell me what they are doing. I remember sitting there that day and I said, no. Dr. Heron, I will tell you anything about me, but I'm not here to talk about anybody else. When God begins to work in your life and God finds you where you are, there will be a work that's about God, you in God, God in you, and it will be a personal work and it will be life-changing. And I said, no, I cannot snitch on anybody else, but I'll tell you what, I am on a mission now to go after every one of them, to bring them into the kingdom too. And thanks be to God, there were a few that came in. Well, this young man's found. His money's out. He's midst of a famine. He's starving. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, feed his pigs. Boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired men have enough food to spare. Here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my Father. I will go home to my Father. I almost sat with tears back at the back before I came up this morning because I received a text from a relative that said, Happy Father's Day. A relative, you've always been there to be a father to me. And honey, you know who that is. And I thought, God lets us maybe be a father to the fatherless sometimes too. Because before I came up here to sing, and thank you, Blanche, for letting us share in that awesome song God gave you together with you. Before I came up, my phone made a little noise, and I checked it. And somebody else's daughter that I remember being about this size. I had no thoughts of this morning. I'll show you, hun, later. But happy Father's Day. And then I remembered last Sunday morning, a young lady came up to me that I've known since she was very small, and she gave me a hug and said, I won't see you on Father's Day, but I just wanted to make sure I told you now. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being there for me and my family. Then I thought, Father, here's just three young ladies who all have been abused. Abused. But it's not just young ladies, it's also young men who've been abused. I never thought that 20 years ago or 25 years ago, when some of these kids would be in our family, that one day I would be able to give them a hug and say, I'll be your dad.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible. Trust in God. Nothing is impossible.